vegetarian dinner. Already ready. Right after church. We are in the 9th chapter of the book of Revelation.
Let's pray. Lord God, we sometimes are ineffective in speaking what's on our heart. So we'll ask you to hear our prayers, knowing far more what we need than we could ever express. We've had friends and loved ones mentioned in our prayer request time. Illnesses, need of operations, need of recovery, need of changing habits and ways of life. We ask for your strength to these people that are in need and their loved ones and caregivers. Father God, we should be troubled with the condition of our country right now. The loss, the sacrifice of those who try to serve us, of those who are brutally gunned down this week and doing their job to protect people who don't even like them, but that's their job to do. Bless their families and loved ones. The world itself, Father, which keeps resisting your plan, we ask for some insight. But you know, God, even more than that, I ask today that you will open up our hearts to hear your words and follow your path. For we cannot change the world except by one, starting with ourselves. So give us encouragement and strength. Be with those men and women in the military, in the mission fields, those here in America that serve us, from the teachers, the nurses, the doctors, the fire and police. May we serve each other and thereby serve you. I pray in Jesus' name we'll be the speaker. Amen. I was asked today, laughingly, if I was being Johnny Cash with the black outfit. Actually, today I'm being Johnny Cry. Many of us have relatives who are in the service industry, from the police and the fire, all those who do what we need to do. And we often do not understand how perilous their lives are. For the men and women who serve in the military, even the young man that's going back for his second occupation in Afghanistan, we need God's help. Our country needs God's help. But the Bible will tell us in Revelation nothing happens without God allowing it to happen. So it should be our prayer daily that we see the signs that he's giving to us, see the direction that we need to take, and have the courage to do it. Chapter 9 of the book of Revelation begins this way in verse 1. The fifth angel sounded his trumpet. I saw a star that had fallen from the sky to the earth. This star was given a key to the shaft of the abyss. He opened the key. Now, when we talk about star at first, we're thinking some heavenly body, but there must have been a change in the shape of this person. For now, he has the ability to open with a key the abyss. A book that I carried in 4 years of college. Webster's big old dictionary. Abyss. Bottomless. No bottom. A bottomless shaft, anything profound and unfathomable, literally or figuratively. So it means a deep, deep place. In the biblical description, from the definitions of the Greek and the Hebrew, abyss, bottomless, intensive, used as a noun denoting the abyss, is described as immeasurable depth. The underworld, the lower regions, the abyss of Sheol, or substitute for the sea, the deep, in reference to the lower regions of the abode of the demons, which they shall soon be let loose. Some of you have gone mountain climbing. Some of you have been crazy like I was and went spelunking. Spelunking is when you go underground. And it's dark in there. Right in the bottom of the first entry of Mammoth Cave, they have an area called the Abyss. And they will turn all the lights off. And one of the guys will hold a torch. He will drop it. And it keeps on going and going and going. You never hear the thunk of this? You see the light gets smaller and smaller until you can't see it anymore. This star that fell out, that had human features, had the key to the abyss, and it opened up the abyss. And we saw there through John that there was no bottom. It was an empty place. A place where we don't want to be. Growing up, I don't know about you, but growing up, I had to sleep on the bottom bunk. Evidently, I rolled a lot. And I would dream I was falling. All of a sudden, I'd hear a thunk. It'd be me on the floor. Falling isn't a great feature, is it? But when the angel, the star, got the key, he opened up the abyss. When he opened the abyss, smoke rose from it like smoke from a gigantic furnace. The sun and the sky was darkened by the smoke of the abyss. A little bit scary to John. It blocked the daylight. It blocked the sight. There were tremendous problems there. They say quite frequently when one of the volcanoes, the seriously bad volcanoes, I can remember Mount St. Helens. Some of you are old enough to remember that. And the clouds that followed that and the soot that followed that did quite a bit of damage to darkening the sun during the day. You couldn't see that well because it was cloudy. I guess the best way to think about it for me is if you've driven through a very hard rainstorm and like you just can't see more in front of the car. You open the doors in front of you. Or it's a bad snowstorm, particularly in the mountains. And you just hope the person in front of you doesn't stop quick because you couldn't see them stop. That's a description of the abyss, the darkness and the clouds. Out of the smoke, locusts came down upon the earth and were given the power like all of the scorpions of the earth. Now, we grew up, you remember army, any of y'all remember army grasshoppers? Sort of green. If you're in the area of Middle Tennessee to Middle Kentucky, they chewed the tobacco and it looked like it was spitting tobacco out of your head. Well, locusts are bad. The grasshoppers are fun. We pull one of the legs off and watch it jump. I didn't say that, did I? If you pull one of the legs off, it would jump around in a circle. These locusts are worse than that. They ravage. They eat everything they can get their hands or mouths or grab their little paws on. They destroy as they go. That's the description of locusts. They are destructive machines. Out of the smoke came down the earth. They were given the power of that of scorpions. We've talked about scorpions even as far back as Moses. How they came, they would sting. Their sting is so bad that it could put you in, swell up a lot. You've been bitten by, I know some of you have, by a fire ant. Yeah, you remember that sting, don't you? And it seems to grow and develops pustules on it. I got scars all over my legs from that. Well, these locusts just do destruction. These scorpions do destruction. They make people suffer. It is not a good place to be on planet Earth right now when this is going on. You don't want to be there. You want to be with God. He's made that arrangement. We'll talk about that later. He goes on to say, they were told not to harm the grass of the earth or the plant of the tree, but only those people who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. God does restrict. Now, some of the other things that go on have harmed the sea, have harmed the land, have taken out trees. And these were sent strictly to punish human beings who did not have the seal. Now, we will talk later, few chapters down the road, about the mark of the beast. Those who have given their allegiance to Satan and his demons that follow him. But God, who we must admit is in competition with Satan, would you not admit that God is in competition with Satan? Would you not admit that Satan's doing his very best? I mean, goodness gracious, you need a Bible teacher to tell you to stand up here and watch the news? And see what happened just this week? And from what I read in the good book, it's only just begun. Now, I can't tell you. I wish I could. I'd write a book, eat ice cream all day. When's he coming back? The song says soon and very soon. Does that mean weeks, hours, days, years? I don't know. But I do know and promise you this event. When it does happen, we had very well better be ready. I don't know if anybody from this generation will live to see the rapture. If we don't, we'll have lived to see our death. And we very well better be ready. One of the gentlemen that was murdered in Dallas this week had just married 2 weeks ago. His young wife was also on the rapid transit system as a police officer. Do you think when they said their I do's, they would know that he would be dead in 2 weeks? I don't think so. So we need to two ways plan for the future. Once is if God's going to give us enough time to do the things we would like to. And second is if God does not give us enough time to do what we want to do, we still even more should be ready. It's a tragedy. It could be a car wreck. It could be an infectious disease. It could be as simple as getting a sting from a wasper. I love that word, wasper. From a wasper or a bumblebee, and you're allergic to you, and you swell up, your mouth swells up, you suffocate. It could be anything. Are we ready? Well, evidently here, many were not. But God will put the seal on the foreheads. What's that seal? We're not told. In his book, it's semi-based on the Bible with a lot of conjecture. Tim LaHaye imagines it's a cross on your forehead that don't want to be seen by God because we've given our life to Him and He's marked us and claimed us. But those who have the seal of God on their foreheads, they will not be harmed. They were not given the power to kill them, only to torture the people for 5 months. The agony they suffered like that a sting of a scorpion, which when it strikes a man during the days, men will seek death, but they will not find it. They will long to die, but death will elude them. Pain and suffering will be so great, they want to give up. But about like me, in December 26th, through January and February, March and April, May, when I'm shoveling snow back home, he said, why can't this be over with soon? Well, obviously, we have to wait it out. And that's what these people did for 5 months. They suffered. They were in pain. Some of you may have had a wound that did not clear up for time and time and time again. My grandson, Trey, had a knee operation. He tore his ACL and all those LFBs and whatever. That wound is still popping open. As much as, well, it happened in October. He hadn't got all the stitches dissolved yet. And he's still popping over. He's still fussing with it. We don't know how bad things can happen to us, do we? Verse 7 says, the locusts looked like horses prepared for battle. He did not say that. Horses said they looked like. It's a simile. He's painting a word picture. They look like horses prepared for battle. Remember now, John is writing 2,000 years ago. Give or take a couple days. John is giving the best description he has for what we can understand. How would your grandfather or great-grandfather describe television? Well, there's a square thing, and it's got glass on the front, for my grandfather would have said. And then the pictures come on it. Where they come from, I don't know. There's nobody inside of it. And they talk to me. Isn't that what you would have said 100 years ago? How would they have described Neil Armstrong walking on that moon with that bunny hop that they had? They had never had anything else to compare it to. So you talk, my favorite description of all seems to happen to every time there's a wind coming through East Kentucky, Tennessee, Missouri. It sounded like a locomotive coming to me. Have you not heard that, Sid? That's where that tornado is. It sounds like a locomotive. I've never been in front of a locomotive. I don't want to hear that sound up close. So he's using his picture. He said it was like a battle, like horses. If you look back in your books, you see the horses usually had a metal, sometimes even gold faceplate. The battle horse would have their ankles wrapped so they couldn't get kicked by another horse and go down. Big, strong saddle, usually with flaps coming down the side so you couldn't. I never have understood why Roy Rogers, instead of trying to shoot the guy, shoot the horse. When he goes down, the guy's not going to get away from you. I don't understand that kind of stuff. The horses were protected in those days. Their heads, they wore something like crowns of gold. Who wears crowns of gold? Kings going into battle. The next line, their faces resembled human faces. Now, this is talking about the horse. Their faces resembled human faces, like a woman's hair. You know, in the ancient days, the women didn't cut their hair. It was long and flowing. Their teeth were like lion's teeth. I've not been too close to the line. I want to make sure there's a bar or a little plastic wall between us. But they got some pretty good teeth in them. Enough to do destruction to them antelopes and stuff like that. They had breastplates. Breastplates of iron. And the sound of wings was something thundering, like many horses and chariots going into battle. They had tails and stings like scorpions in their tails. They had power to torment people for 5 months. 1981, I preached this sermon to a little country church in Eastern Kentucky. The whole building would fit inside of this room. These guys were patriots. We had a bunch of them that were in Vietnam. Matter of fact, four of them flew the helicopters. Had some gunners and stuff. In the middle of the sermon, one of them stood up and said, "Dwight, you're describing Vietnam. That's the helicopters we flew. The shine was gold as it came, like the sun came up. You flew into the sun in the morning. The wings, as the propellers went, sounded like what you're describing, the horses." He said, "Underneath of the belly was metal to protect us. And when we fired our missiles, when we shot our machine guns," he described it very well. I'd never heard about that or thought about that before, but I sure have a lot since. Whether he's talking about the helicopter, I don't know. The flame that came out of the jetpack at the back of the top of the helicopter, they were jet-powered, shooting around. It looked like hair flowing, a woman's hair flowing. He said, "God foresaw and foretold what I would see." Now, whether that's accurate completely, or that's God's got a different plan, that's up to God. But this young man who served his term in Vietnam was strongly convinced that that's what it was. God has a plan for us. He will do what he wishes. They had a king over them, an angel of the abyss. His name in Hebrew was Abaddon or Apollyon. The name means destruction, death, upheaval, anger, and war. I'm going to tell you, the more I read about the end of the world, the more I read about the Revelation, the more I read about, and this is also in the Jewish material that I'm reading too. God is not going to make it very nice. God's going to make it final, is what he's going to do. And he says, "Those who are suffering from it will wish they were dead. Woe! The first woe is past. Two other woes are to become." Now, woe is me is what we often say. It's written many times in the word of Shakespeare. It talks about sad things are coming upon people, bad things. The sixth angel sounded a trumpet, and I heard a voice coming from the horns of the golden altar before God. Now, we have heard below, at the base of the altar, underneath the altar, around God's chair, is where the saints, those who were crucified, those who were killed, those who were murdered, those who were martyred. Now, this seems to be the upper side, where God's Son could be in control. He said the sixth angel who had a trumpet said, "Release the four angels who are bound for the great river. They bound the great river Euphrates." And four angels who had kept ready for this very hour and day and month and year, they were released to kill 1/3 of all mankind in one blow. 1/3 of all mankind. Why? Because the river is going to be released. The river of drowning, also the river of suffering. The number of the mounted troops was 200 million. I heard their number. Falling behind the flood of the great Euphrates River will be 200 million. 200 million warriors. The horse and our riders looked like this. Their breastplates were fiery red, dark blue, and yellow as sulfur. The heads of the horses resembled the heads of lions. Out of their mouths came fire and smoke and sulfur. A third of mankind was killed by the three plagues, fire and smoke and sulfur that came out of their mouths. The power of these horses was in their mouths and their tails. Their tails were like snakes, having heads which inflicted injury. So now the horses are warriors as well, all decorated up. Look back in the time of the ancients and see some of the wars. Genghis Khan will be the first one coming to me, but also the Romans and all, even the Crusaders. They had their horses all dutied up and fancied up. The warmest war machines. The rest of mankind that were not killed by the plagues still did not repent of the work that their hands. They did not stop worshiping demons. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Of all the people you know, 1/3 were dead. Let's just, I'm pretending and making this up. Let's say that 1/3 were dead because they really liked grape Kool-Aid. Now, I made that up. Let me tell you what. When they pass the grape Kool-Aid to me, I'm not going to take some of it because everybody else is. They didn't learn what was causing the world to die, that they could have prevented, but they kept on doing their own thing. How sad that is. I wish we could explain this to our legislatures, our Congress, our leaders. That when you try something over and over and over again and it fails, you try it again, it's still going to fail. We try to live on our own. We try to live without God. We failed. The past generations fail. And the next will too if they don't learn. They built idols of gold and silver and bronze and stone and wood. Idols that cannot see or hear. They did not repent. They did not repent of their murders, their magic arts, their sexual immorality, or their thefts. Folks, it's simply this. It's up to you. It's up to us. As parents, you can pray for your children. You can pray for those around you. You can pray for your loved one. You can pray for your parents. You can pray for the world. But you can't change them. You can lead by example, but not by force. If I stop right now, I'd lose my appetite. Well, I hate to do that. So let me put a little P.S. on there. All these horrible things we got in chapter 9. Calvary. Calvary, the resurrection of God's Son, whose life was given to take away our sins, is far greater of outreach, far greater of power than all the evil that Satan is causing this world. Calvary. We have the opportunity to live and serve Him. Let us choose to know Him. Let us choose to repent. Let us choose to confess. Let us choose to be baptized and live for Him. Because I guarantee you, in the back of Christ's heart, through His mouth, through His words, and through His actions and deeds, He loved us first. It's simple. You've probably heard it before. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only begotten Son, whomsoever, that's all inclusive, whomsoever believes in Him, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Our hymn of invitation decision day gives us an opportunity. What number?
492.
Come on up. 492 or 6?
496.
We'll stand our hand of invitation season and say, God, what can I do for you who's done so much for me? And number 496, please.